In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Very reverend and reverend fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. You know, I must admit there are times when I'm a little confused, which actually, I must admit there's a lot of times when I'm very, very confused. But occasionally, what gives that confusion is, in a sense, the choice of the verse from the scriptures that's applied to something. And this is one of those days. And I'm not questioning the wisdom of the Christ through the church, but I'm just saying I would have done it a little bit differently. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. These people are saints. I'm, you know, just a lowly priest. So today we celebrate St. James, the brother of the Lord. St. James was the first bishop of Jerusalem. He was the son of St. Joseph the betrothed. St. Joseph had been married and was a widower, and so had children with his first wife. And then, as we know, it was a pious tradition at the time that young Jewish women who wanted to live a life in which they were dedicated to God, they had no way to support themselves. So older, pious Jewish men would, in a sense, become their protectors. They would marry them or just be betrothed to them and, in a sense, give the young women a sense of legitimacy. There were no monasteries at the time, so it was not an uncommon practice. And obviously that's what St. Joseph the Betrothed did with the Theotokos. But he had kids from his wife who had passed away. So St. James is the brother of the Lord. And the reason I say it's interesting is because the epistle today is for St. James. And so what did they pick? I assume you paid very, very close attention. They picked from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, I would have you know that the gospel which was preached to me is not man's gospel. He goes on, says all these things. And then at the end it says, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, or Peter, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And that's all the mention of James right there. And I find it very interesting because the other thing that St. James did is he wrote an epistle. We have a whole epistle of St. James. It's commonly thought of being one of the very first epistles written. And it's what's called a Catholic or a general epistle. You know, when St. Paul here is writing to the Galatians, they're dealing with X and Y and Z. And so what it was is, in a sense, it was, well, he's an apostle writing to the church. But in a sense, it was like a pastoral letter. It's like if Sayyidina Joseph wrote us a letter saying, you know, dear brothers and sisters, and, you know, it would be the letter to the Ben Lomians if it ever became scripture, which obviously it won't. And so a general epistle is a little bit different because it just gives general advice. It's just sent to, this was particularly sent to the Jews in diaspora, the Jews that were not part of Jerusalem anymore, but who were Christians. And so it just gives general advice. So the general epistles are great books to read in the scriptures because they give so much information that, in a sense, you don't really have to know exactly what's going on behind the scenes to understand why, you know, St. Paul is saying this at this point in time, which helps very much when you're reading the epistles written to specific churches. So we have this great epistle of James. It's only 5 chapters, really relatively quick, easy read, but just so full of great pastoral advice. There's a lot of different themes in it. You know, he starts off talking about the importance of perseverance, that in difficult times it's important that we persevere and how perseverance builds character. He talks about that we should be doers and not just hearers of the word. He uses that great analogy of if we hear the gospel but not do the gospel, do not live the gospel, then we're like a man who looks in the mirror and immediately when he leaves forgets what he looked like. He talks about that we should not judge others by their status. That when someone comes into the church in rich robes, we shouldn't say, oh yes, please come sit right here to you gentlemen who are wearing gold robes. And when someone who's poor comes in, say, oh, stand over there. That we shouldn't be judging how the world judges. That's a very important point. That's a very, very important point for us as the church. We, you know, I once heard someone say to a priest, oh, I don't fit into that church, I don't fit that demographic. The Church of God has no demographic. The Church of Christ has no demographic. Anybody who walks through those doors, we should welcome lovingly, and the way that Christ has welcomed us, in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our distance from Him. But that's not my point. He says all of these things. He has all of these great things, great advice about taming the tongue and not being judgmental and that kind of thing. But the most famous line from the Epistle of James is the one that made it so that men throughout history, like Thomas Jefferson and even Martin Luther, didn't want it included in the Bible. And that's that famous line where he says, "Faith without works is dead." So here's what it says. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead." This is such an obvious point, such a great point. It's interesting because in so many things we have a tendency to set things up against each other. Sometimes you'll hear Christians talking about faith versus works. There's a great story of someone who went to one of the elders on Mount Athos and said, "Yoranda," just means father, it's a term of endearment for an elder. He says, "Yoranda, how do you reconcile faith and works?" And he said, "My son, why would I need to reconcile friends?" And it's a great point. It's not faith nor works. And we know that we're saved by faith, saved by grace through faith, not by works, so that no man can boast. And what Paul's talking about is works of the law. We're not saved by our works in so much as we can't earn our way into heaven by doing the right thing. It's only through Christ's death on the cross and through throwing ourselves at the foot of his cross and begging for his mercy that we truly have forgiveness of our sins. And it's not like there's eternal scale where you say, "Okay, so, you know, I stole that pin from work, but I gave that homeless person my lunch, so therefore that evens out." That's not how our God works. But what do we see when we see the only parable, the only telling of the last judgment? We see Christ standing there, separating the sheep from the goats, not saying, "You missed a few too many weekends of church," or "You didn't say your prayers every single day," not saying, "You know, you didn't make sure to never swear, never do this or that or the other," but instead saying to those that were destined to paradise, saying, "You saw me naked and sick and poor, and you clothed me, and you fed me, and you visited me in prison and in the hospital." And then he turned to those on his left and he said, "You saw me naked and sick and poor, and you did not do these things." So this is such an important part of our faith. St. John Chrysostom points out, he says, why would Christ have said that in order for salvation that we follow the commandments if that's not part of our salvation? If it's not part of our salvation, why would he have said that when the rich young ruler came and asked him how he obtains eternal life? And he says, keep the commandments, basically. The Venerable Bede said, it is obvious that words alone are not going to help someone who is naked and hungry. Someone whose faith does not go beyond words is useless. Such faith is dead without works of Christian love, which alone can bring it back to life. This is the heart of our life in Christ. As I've said many, many times, God is love, and he's given that great love to us. And all that he asks of us is that we love him and that we love our neighbors as ourselves, which is funny. I can say that easily. Oh, he just asked these two small things: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do we do that? We do that by keeping his commandments. And the one thing that he hits again and again and again is the love for those around us, is the giving to the poor and needy, is to feeding the hungry, to clothing the naked. And as the Church of Christ, that's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing for our salvation and for the salvation of those that we're giving these things to. Ultimately, it becomes a bigger blessing to those who give than to those who receive. But to them, that's why they then go, well, what is it about them that they want to help us? Oh, it's that love that they have because of Christ. And so this is what St. James, this is one of the many things St. James tells us in his epistle, that we make sure that that our faith is not just empty words, that we don't just say, I believe in God, but do nothing about it. As he points out, even the demons believe that Christ is Lord and shudder. So let us put our faith into action and show that love of God that he has shown us by serving those around us to his glory and that of the Father and the All Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.